We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure a number of you watched the film on PBS Tuesday evening, Martin Luther, The Idea That Changed the World. One of the key scenes in that film, and in most films about Martin Luther, is the time he came in faith to understand that he needed to make a conversion, and he came to that conversion. It was a conversion from one understanding about God to another understanding about God. His earlier understanding was much like the servant in the parable that we just heard Jesus tell. That is, he felt as though he was called by a king to pay a huge debt that was out of reach and he could never pay it. It's said that the debt in the parable was actually probably equivalent to 150 years worth of wages. So it was huge. No one could ever pay that much. And that's how Luther felt about his debt to God for his sins. He felt that it was unachievable, that he had no assurance with salvation with God because he could never do enough to make up for his sins. He confessed nearly perpetually, but always thought of one more thing he could confess and would run back to the confessional and forget that. He didn't sleep well thinking of his sins, and they kept him up at night. And many believe it kind of hurt his health because he lost so much sleep over his thinking about how sinful he was. And most of the sins he thought about were just very minor things, but yet there were one more thing, and he wanted to be pure before God. Then his study of Scripture led him to see a different role of God. Rather than the one calling him to account for his impossible debt, God was the one who was willing to forgive him that debt due to God's love for him, and God's love for the world, and the sacrifice of Jesus. Now Luther could believe that he was like the servant in the parable who had been forgiven the debt. He no longer had a debt to pay to God. What God would want from him is thanksgiving and sharing the spirit of forgiving love in Jesus with others. God would want him to treat others with generosity and forgiveness and love, just as these gifts had come to him so overwhelmingly through the love of Jesus. Last Sunday, little Reed Bartek was baptized here at the font by his grandfather, Pastor Jim. And while it will take time for Reed to grow into the promise was made to Reed that is, he is one welcomed into the kingdom of God. His debt of original sin is forgiven by God, and he has the promise and the grace and the life that the love of God can give him. It's a terrific promise. And I'm guessing that most, if not all of us in this room this morning, have been baptized ourselves. And we've received the same promise of complete forgiveness by God. And God's love has been given promise to us through his son, Jesus. We can all look back to our day of baptism and say, that was forgiveness with all debt with God day. The debt was done. God covered it all. And that's when the burden was lifted from us and we were given the good and great gift. We could begin living with God's expectation of being thankful and sharing of that love and life and forgiveness with others. But when Luther realized how this gift had come to him, he began to make changes in his life. Instead of looking up to see God as whether God was pleased with him or not, looking down because he was dejected because he thought God didn't have any love for him and he feared God. Instead of looking up or down, he was able to look around sideways and see the needs that the world presented through the people around him. He could see that as in this parable of the forgiven slave, the things that would help others should become the focus, not trying to get everything out of them he could, but trying to help them as much as he could. He started the concept of a community chest so that rather than the money of the community going to the church as a payoff to God for the sins of the community, he suggested that the money instead go for the good of all those who were struggling in the community. And he established, instead of a chest where you could put money for forgiveness, a chest for the good of the community. The image of being in a cascading waterfall with the waters from above coming down and gushing over us, I think, is a way to think of the love and the forgiveness of God coming down and over us. It's plentiful, and it's never ending. It just keeps coming. That's how generous God is to us. In the next verse after our lesson today, Jesus turns south from Galilee and goes down to Judah for the last time. He's on his way to Jerusalem and to the end. There's a sign right there of the generosity of God and what God was willing to pay and what Jesus was willing to suffer so that our sin and our debt might be wiped out with God. So when we think of this unbounding love and the grace of God shown to us in Jesus falling down on us like an eternal waterfall just coming down, we have no reason to be selfish or to hold back our love for others. God's generous and forgiving love that has been bestowed on us overwhelms us so that we have no reason to hold back that love and not share it with others. But just as Jesus anticipated with this parable, for some reason, it's hard for us to live by this very good news. The old part of us still hangs with us so that it looks out in the old style, the old way, and wants to be selfish instead when it comes to others. Jesus anticipated this as he mentions how the man who was forgiven this huge debt then demands repayment of a small debt from someone close to him. We know how hard it is ourselves to live by and share by the faith and the love of Jesus and to share that life. It's always easier to come back and serve ourselves rather than to serve the others. And sometimes we find it hard to forgive. We may even find it hard to forgive ourselves. There may be something that we've done either to someone else or to ourselves which we blame ourselves for. We may be stuck like Luther was early on in his life and think that it is unforgivable. We live with it. We live with this sin that we don't think is forgiven, and we let it haunt us. It eats at us and takes away from our living a fully graceful life as Jesus calls us to do. It's been said that when we resist the idea that we have that forgiving ourselves, we have more difficulty forgiving others. Sometimes it's maybe not ourselves that is the hard person to forgive. It's another person that's hard to forgive, or we bear a grudge against someone else, or we have some resentment about them or something that they have done. Sometimes it may be just a small matter of hurt feelings, or it may be a major deception or injury to us or a loved one that really sets us back. It was a major thing, and we just can't believe they did it, and we find it impossible to forgive. Then it means that we're dealing with things on our own. We've stepped away from God's waterfall of grace and begun to live on our worldly scale of payback, resentment, and retribution. The other person may not even know that we have these feelings towards them, yet we harbor those unforgiving thoughts. The struggle may be that we know better, but we just can't get our heart to go there. We know we should forgive, but our feelings just won't let us do it. Amy McCarthy discovered a way that seems to help when there's someone that we're having trouble forgiving or who makes us angry or riled up within ourselves whenever we think of them. She suggests either saying out loud or silently, if necessary, the phrase to ourselves as kind of a mantra, "In the name of Jesus, I bless you, I forgive you, I release you." And just to say that over and over again when we have this other person in mind. In the name of Jesus, I bless you, I forgive you, I release you. And at first, you may not feel much change, but she suggests after many days and many repetitions of this, it may become something that you actually believe and gets into your heart, gets into your soul, and you do actually bless the person, forgive them, and release them. And you may even get to the point, not necessarily, you may get to the point where you can reach out to the other person. She also mentions a kind of self-cleansing that a person can do maybe before they go to bed. They could say a prayer like this: "If there's anyone from my past or in my present that I need to forgive, whether I remember them or not, I do so now. In the name of Jesus, I bless them, I forgive them, I release them, to live their own lives in whatever way is best." And to say, "If there's anyone from my past or present who needs to forgive me, including myself, may they now do so, so that we are all free to experience the love of God in our lives." It's a way to remember that we can be in forgiveness for others and let their forgiveness come to us, whether we know about it or not, and fall asleep peacefully. It's been said that we need to forgive for our own health as well, whether or not it leads to actual restored relationships. Sometimes we find that the one we hurt by not forgiving is ourself. It's possible the other person doesn't even care whatever we think it was that was offensive. But one person has said it like this: resentment is like drinking poison but expecting the other person to die. It doesn't work like that. We harbor that, it does bad things to us, not necessarily to the other person. Literally, from the Old English, forgive means to send away, to forgive, to release. It is to let go of that which binds us, binds our minds, especially in resentment or hatred. Forgiveness sends away whatever has been keeping people apart. The importance of forgiveness is really highlighted by Jesus in the prayer that he taught us. We say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This is one of the main points in a very short prayer that Jesus taught us to live by. He knows that this is a key to our life together in the church, is to be able to forgive one another. He also reminds us of the order of things. That is, we pray for the forgiveness of God so that we might forgive one another. Because we know that God's forgiven us, we know this waterfall is coming on us, then we're free to forgive others. God shapes us by God's abundant love, God's abundant grace, God's abundant forgiveness. They overflow with us so that then we might love the other person, the neighbor. As Luther put it in the Small Catechism, we want to forgive heartily and do good gladly to those who sin against us. A topic that sometimes intersects with forgiveness is the topic of justice. That is, on a simple level, we may forgive a child, say, for something that he or she has done wrong, but then we still expect them to have time on a timeout chair or some other thing to kind of, as a learning experience, to figure out that this isn't a right thing to keep doing. There are other times in life when there is forgiveness, but yet a discipline of some kind that's necessary as a teaching way, or in some cases, to keep a person from harming people in society. There's a role for justice and a role for forgiveness. And so even in our current time of tension in our city, there's a place for justice and there's a place for forgiveness. Jesus himself was kind, loving, and forgiving, yet he had strong words and warnings, as we heard in today's lesson. So we need both sides of this. Thankfully, we can throw ourselves on the grace of Jesus, as Luther came to do, but we accept the challenge of living out the life lived in God's grace so that we might do the best for the sake of the neighbor. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.